should.
Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to come into your house and now the opportunity to open your word. Please help us now as we open it, that we understand exactly what we read, apply it in the right way, and encourage us to share it with others. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z, currently on the word deliverance. Now, deliverance can be several different ways. You can be delivered from a challenge. You can be delivered from death. You can be delivered from your sins. You can be delivered from prison. We'll see several of these as we go throughout the Bible, where you would put it under this category of having deliverance. And of course, one of the greatest events of the past that is evident all over the world was the great flood, the judgment that came upon this planet for sin. As the Lord said in chapter 6 of Genesis, that the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So let's look at chapter 7 here, where we see Noah and his family being delivered from the judgment that's coming upon the entire planet at that time, that the entire planet being flooded. And in chapter 7, let's pick it up in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep them alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean beasts, and of the beasts that are not clean, and of the fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord closed that door. He sealed that door so it wouldn't be affected by the waves outside. He called them in. He gave them the instructions on how to build that huge ship. He called all the animals to them, gave them a place of sanctuary, gave them a place to be delivered from the judgment that came upon the entire planet that we can still see evidence of all over the planet today. You can continue reading this and event, chapter 6 all the way through chapter 9 of Genesis. But now let's look at another incident of some judgment that came upon ungodly behavior and attitudes and actions. If you will, look at Genesis chapter 19 And we see how Lot and his family were delivered from the judgment that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the region close by. In Genesis chapter 19, let's just look at a few verses here. Of course, this is speaking of the event of the judgment that come upon Sodom and Gomorrah because they were such a sinful community and the communities that were around Sodom and Gomorrah. But in Genesis chapter 19, verse 12, we see here as the angels that have come into Sodom and Gomorrah are with Lot and his family. We pick it up here in verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. Note, it became an offer of deliverance to more than just the ones that were there in the house. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They didn't believe him. They ignored what he had to say. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So him and his family were saved from that judgment. That fiery judgment that rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah in the area. But note what happened when his wife, who had the opportunity of deliverance, decided to look back in verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So she was destroyed in that fire and brimstone that rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah and became a pillar of salt. It's interesting studies done on how this could happen to somebody and how the body is destroyed in a way, and they've related this to what happens when a nuclear bomb goes off and how the body can be almost to the point of vaporized and still be in the position that it was, and it leaves a high contrast of the salt that's within the body in that ash, almost like a sculpture that is left behind. When they unearth some of the areas when the Pompeii, when the volcano erupted near Pompeii and engulfed people with that, what they call it, pyroclastic cloud that came by, that comes by like 200 miles an hour, and it's full of superheated gases and flame and just vaporized them to the point where all the moisture and all come out of them, and they were left behind just as, you might say this, a pillar of salt. So we see evidence is very similar to what would have happened to her if she had looked back. It indicates that it wasn't merely just turn around and look over her shoulder. She apparently had to go back far enough to get into it, because it says, but his wife looked back from behind him. So she wasn't up there with Lot any longer. An opportunity for deliverance. Lot, the two daughters, were delivered. The wife turned back, went against the directions that the Lord had given her, and she did not receive her deliverance. All right, now if you will, turn to Exodus chapter 3. A good deal of the beginning of Exodus deals with Moses and Pharaoh, and the Exodus, or the departure of the children of Israel from Egypt, in what you might say a deliverance from captivity. They had willingly, the children of Israel had willingly went to Egypt, but they had by this time had become enslaved by the Pharaoh and the Egyptian people. The Lord had commanded Moses to approach and to talk to Pharaoh to release the people, and the plagues that had to be brought upon Egypt because the Pharaoh refused, all the way to the point of the last one that we see. But let's look at the account as recorded in Exodus chapter 3. We see here where this event starts. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So he goes about the process. He does what he is told. Verse 11, And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. In chapter 12, we see the last plague coming upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians, the death of the firstborn. And Moses is given the instructions on the Passover, what to kill, how to prepare it, how to eat it, even unleavened bread, and to take the blood from the lamb and to put it on the side post of the door and over the lintel, and that the death angel is going to come through and strike dead the firstborn of all those that aren't the children of Israel or protected in that home. And he does what he's supposed to do. And the children of Israel do what they're supposed to do. And then Pharaoh gives in and says, Okay, y'all can leave. And in verse 50 here, we see, Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. So right out of Egypt, right past all the armies, away from that strength of power that was there that could have kept them in, but the Lord delivered them from that bondage and put them on their journey to the promised land. And over in Deuteronomy 16, verse 1, we see where it is given to them in law to commemorate that event and have a Passover feast in commemoration of the deliverance that the Lord gave to the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. And you can go on and see all the details about how you're supposed to prepare the Passover meal. So we have it recorded and we have it commemorated, of the deliverance of the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. All right, let's go ahead and jump all the way over to Psalm 31. You can see other events that have taken place throughout the history that could be under the category of deliverance, but we don't want to spend too much time on this word, so let's jump ahead to Psalm 31. And here we see a psalm that is written by David, and in this you can see how it would apply to deliverance. Psalm 31 reads, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Note, deliver me in thy righteousness. Not in my righteousness, but in thy righteousness. Always by the righteousness of God, not by our righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my stand, my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. This psalm or song is also in the form of a prayer. He's praying. He's communicating to the Lord, asking for things. Praising the Lord to begin with, acknowledging his power and strength, and then going down listing some of the things that he wants and needs. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. He's asking for something and also acknowledging the strength of God. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Here you might kind of say that he's getting to the point where he's moaning and groaning and whining a little bit. But we find ourselves all doing this. We get to questioning, Lord, why am I still suffering this? Or why am I feeling like this? I'm a Christian. I should be happy all the time. Why am I depressed? Why am I sore? Why am I aching? Why am I sick? Why have I had problems with my family or whatever? Let's see how this unfolds. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did set me without fled from me. Now he's even whining about his family, his friends are leaving him. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee. That's where he turns around. He's like, yeah, I've been moaning and groaning and wailing and complaining, but I trusted in you. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. turning to the Lord, acknowledging that it's by His control that everything happens, by His power, His might, that He can pull you out of whatever condition it is. Because this enemy doesn't have to be just another person that's your adversary. This can be anything that is an enemy to you, anything as far as an attitude, a habit, a persuasion from somebody else, a temptation, whatever it is, could be an enemy against you. And as it says here, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. And that's where we see how this applies to the word deliverance. If we turn to the Lord, we trust in the Lord and ask Him to deliver us from whatever it is that's ailing us. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. 21 there really applies, because you see, he's pointing out, for I said in my haste, when we go back here a little bit, we see where he was moaning and groaning and complaining. And like, I know quickly, I'm so quick to go ahead and complain about something. But he says, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. So you've got a complaint, take it to the Lord and supplication. That's what supplications mean. Just list all the concerns that you have. Take it to the Lord. Pray about it. Talk to Him about it. And trust in Him. Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. He finishes it off with words of encouragement there. To let us know that even when we got some things to complain about, take them to the Lord, list them, talk to Him, and He'll see us through it. He has the strength, He has the authority, He has the ability, and He has the mercy that He wants to pour upon us if we will simply trust in Him and have faith in Him. And over in Psalm 59, in Psalm chapter 59, verse 1, deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. This one was specifically speaking of an incident that David was dealing with. This was when Saul had sent messengers to try to find David to bring him back so he could kill him, basically. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not from my transgression, nor from my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. He's flat out asking for help and throwing in a little, Lord, get some payback while you're at it in that one. But he goes on and covers some more things in that in verse 16. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. When he gets protected, when he has deliverance, he acknowledges that it came from God. Which is what we always need to do, is always give God credit when He does something for us. Unto Thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Always give God credit for everything that He does for us. And when we have an adversary that comes up against us unjustifiably, as he pointed out there, turn them over to the Lord. Don't try to get vengeance yourself. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Just as he's pointing out there. Turn them over to you, Lord. You take care of them. And the Lord does take care of them. All right, we are out of time. We'll pick it back up in Psalm 60 next time, but let's go ahead and close here. And we'll continue this study on deliverance. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many, many things that can be found in your word. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can always turn to your word to find the guidelines we need. We can find the encouragement that we need. We can find the instructions that we need. Help us to do that. Way too many times we turn to you at the last resort when we're supposed to turn to you first and utmost. Help us do that very thing and encourage us to share that with others as well. Lead, guide, direct us the rest of this week so we can bring honor and glory to you in everything that we say, everything that we do. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you.